Welcome to Must Do's and Hidden Gems, presented by Visit St. Pete Clearwater and the Tampa Bay Times, where you'll learn from the locals how to make the most out of your visit to St. Pete Clearwater, or as we like to call it, paradise. I'm your host, Carrie O'Reilly, with the Tampa Bay Times. For more than 25 years, my wife and I have enjoyed dozens of what we consider must do's and hidden gems in our backyard, and I'm excited to share a few with you. If you're not familiar with our area, here's an overview. We've got 35 miles of white sand beaches, pro sports, big name concerts, world-class museums, amazing restaurants and bars, super friendly people, and our average snowfall every year comes in at, wait for it, 0 inches. What we do get a lot of is sunshine. In fact, St. Pete is known as Sunshine City because each year we have an average of 361 sunny days. Now, if you believe there's nothing new under the sun, you haven't been to St. Pete Clearwater. In this episode, we'll hit the highlights in St. Pete, or the Berg, as we like to call it, and nearby St. Pete Beach with a local guide who has helped hundreds of visitors find the best things to see and do. Then, Tampa Bay Times food critic Helen Freund will give us a taste of some of the top spots to grab a bite or drink, no matter what your taste or budget. Finally, we'll end our show on our rooftop bar and our continued quest to spot the elusive Green Flash. No, the Green Flash is not a superhero, but perhaps something more magical. Stick around to the end to find out if I've succeeded. And now it's my pleasure to welcome Kathy Fortner to the show. Kathy is a travel and lifestyle advisor for the 50-plus crowd, but her insights into fun things to do in St. Pete Clearwater can apply to all ages. You can find her on Instagram at Confidence and Adventure and on Facebook at Kathy Fortner. That's Kathy with a K. Kathy, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
So, Kathy, if someone is visiting St. Pete for the first time, or maybe they're only here for 48 hours or so, what are three must-dos that you recommend?
Okay, so I definitely recommend going to the St. Pete Pier. The pier was built a couple years ago, and it is absolutely stunning, and I feel like there's something to do there for everybody. It's family-friendly, it has restaurants, it has a beach, and if you even want to go and get a drink, you can get a drink there at the pier.
And the view from the pier is stunning. When you're at Pier Tiki and you look back toward the St. Pete skyline at night, it rivals some of the best views in the Tampa Bay area that you can find.
It absolutely does. And the views are great from all sides of the pier, I think.
Oh, great point. And you can fish from the pier. And if you don't want to walk from the parking lot to the pier, you can hop on the tram.
Yeah, and the tram is free. And it's actually fun to ride the tram down to the pier.
Oh, for sure. And Tampa Bay Watch is also on the pier. So if you want to have some time to learn about the ecology in the area and sustainability, that's a great way to do it.
Yeah, it's really cute in there. And there's a little learning center inside there, too.
Yeah. Okay, what else?
I absolutely love the Dolly Museum.
The building itself is a work of art.
Yes.
So you've got some of the masterpieces that Dolly painted. And one of the things I love about the museum is it's accessible to everybody. They've got docents that are incredibly knowledgeable, and I highly recommend a tour with a docent if you're not familiar with Dolly's works. But when our kids were small, we took them to the Dolly, and they had a little scavenger hunt where they could go from gallery to gallery. That made it really fun, too. A must-do at a must-do is to attach the bracelet that you get for admission to the wish tree at the Dolly when you're about to leave.
Yes, and I do that every time I go there, make a wish.
Yep, same here.
If I leave the Dolly.
Same here. What's another one, Kathy?
The Vinoy Hotel. It is a great piece of history for downtown St. Petersburg. And again, I think it's family friendly. They have restaurants. They have a swimming pool. You can actually tour the place, and they have an amazing bakery. And if you go upstairs to the second level and you follow the wall, you can actually learn about the history of the Vinoy.
The Vinoy is absolutely gorgeous, and this year is their 100th anniversary, and they have a great high tea. If you're into tea, you can do that at the Vinoy. Or if you just want to stop in for a drink, they've got a bar right in the lobby, and you can sit on the patio and look out onto the marina. It's absolutely gorgeous. The restaurants there are some of the best in town.
I agree.
The Vinoy, the Dolly, the St. Pete Pier, they're all within walking distance or a scooter ride of each other.
Right, right.
So it makes it very convenient to get around.
Yeah.
Okay, so those are three things that you have to do when you're visiting St. Pete. If you've got a little bit more time, or maybe you have been to the pier or the Dolly or the Vinoy, what are three more things that you would recommend?
Okay, one of my all-time favorites is Zubrick's Magic, and they do a beautiful family-friendly show, and it's up-close magic. It's fun because you're trying to figure out how they do the tricks and everything, and I've been twice, and I still can't figure them out, even sitting that close.
I've been twice as well.
Yeah.
And I've tried each time to figure it out. I can't do it.
Yeah.
And like you said, great family-friendly, multi-generation. I went with my parents, my kids, and everybody loved it.
And they do some big tricks, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. That is a great
yeah.
local hidden gem.
Yeah.
Okay, what's another?
I love Floridorama. It used to be called the Fairgrounds. They have a lot of exhibits with local artists in there. That, again, is good for all ages. It's family friendly. It's cute. Every once in a while, they put new exhibits in there. So, you don't just go once. You can go twice or three times or...
Yeah, I've been a couple of times, and it is really cool. And like the Dolly Museum, they have an interactive element where... as you go through the galleries, you can search for things, and that makes it fun, too.
Yeah. I bought my niece and nephew there, and we did that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like you're inside artwork. You're
right.
interacting with artwork, which makes it a lot of fun.
Yeah. What's your favorite room there?
I really liked the strawberry room.
Me, too. I love the
really?
Strawberry room, yeah. And a close second is the Mermaid Star Hotel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Very cool. Well, and the other thing I like about Floridorama, it's proximity to some other cool places.
Right.
So you've got a couple of microbreweries nearby. So if you wanted to go to the galleries and then go grab a drink or go grab something to eat, it's all very centrally located.
Right, right.
Okay, what's another one?
Another classic, Sunken Gardens.
Mm, for sure.
Gosh, Sunken Gardens, I remember going there in 1971 when I was a child, and I loved it then, and I love it now.
It is absolutely beautiful. It's one of those throwback attractions that Florida used to be known for, and I'm so glad that we have preserved it in St. Petersburg, because it is definitely a hidden gem. And I don't know if it's, is it a flock of flamingos or a flamboyance of flamingos? But they've got a group of flamingos that are worth going to see, if nothing else. Great for multi-generations, lots of shade, lots of birds, lots of different plants that you can check out. And right next door is the Great Explorations Museum for kids. So that's a great time, too. We've taken our kids there when they were little dozens of times, and it's a great interactive experience.
I would agree.
Any other hidden gems in St. Pete that you would recommend for our listeners?
Bill Jackson's is a adventure sporting goods store, and what they do is that whatever they sell, they teach there, too. And all of the employees are hands-on. If you work at Bill Jackson's, you have to do what you sell and what you teach there at Bill Jackson's.
If you're coming to fish in St. Pete Clearwater and you want to get some tackle, that's a good place to stop.
Yes, it sure is. Great. Yep.
Let's leave downtown St. Pete and branch out a bit. Let's head west out to St. Pete Beach. Whenever we've got friends in town, we like to take them to the beach. I feel like you can't come to the area without at least seeing the beach. And St. Pete Beach is just 20 minutes from downtown St. Pete. Describe how the vibe of that beach is different from Tierra Verde to the south or Clearwater Beach to the north.
Okay, Tierra Verde Beach is a little bit more relaxed. It's got a nice vibe there. And then if you go to Clearwater Beach has a lot of energy. It's very busy. There's always a lot of people around. So if you want to go somewhere to see a lot of people, Clearwater Beach is good. St. Pete Beach has a totally different vibe.
And what are some of the things that you could do while you're at St. Pete Beach?
You could go to the Beach Theater, which they recently reopened.
Oh, yeah. So they've got movies, they've got entertainment there, and great to see a local theater renovated and brought back. Kathy, is there anything else that I haven't asked you that you'd like to be sure people know?
You can actually take the Sunrunner from downtown St. Pete all the way to St. Pete Beach.
Oh, that's a great suggestion. Yeah, it's just a couple of dollars, and it's got its own lane, and you don't have to worry about parking, especially when it's a special occasion, maybe fireworks on the 4th of July,
yeah,
or one of those events where you know there are going to be a lot of people. You can avoid the hassles of parking and traffic, and the Sunrunner's a great way to do it.
Right.
All right, Kathy, finally, I'm on a quest, and I wondered if you could help me. Since I moved here, I've heard that you can see a green flash of light when the sun slips over the horizon on the water. I've never seen it, so I'm starting to doubt if it's true, but others swear they have. Have you heard this, and have you seen it?
I have absolutely heard it from a couple people, and no, I have never seen it myself.
Okay, well, we'll keep looking. Kathy, it's been great talking with you.
Thank you.
Kathy definitely covered some great things to do in St. Pete and St. Pete Beach. I've got a few more, though, to share with you before we bring on our next guest to talk about top spots to eat and drink in the area. We can't leave St. Pete without talking about our world-class museums. Kathy mentioned the Dalí Museum, which is one of only two museums in the world dedicated to his artwork and is absolutely incredible. But many people are amazed by the number of other museums in St. Pete that are also incredible. Now, I'm not going to go into great detail, but I want to be sure these are on your radar. We've got the James Museum of Western and Wildlife Art, which hosts a collection of sculptures, paintings, and jewelry from the 20th and 21st century. They've got a great restaurant, and the building itself is a work of art. Another beautiful building with beautiful artwork is the Museum of American Arts and Crafts Movement. It's the only museum in the world dedicated exclusively to the American Arts and Craft Movement. On Beach Drive, near St. Pete Pier, is the Museum of Fine Arts, where you can see masterpieces by Monet, O'Keeffe, Wiley, Rodin, and others. Just around the corner from MFA is the St. Pete Museum of History, where they've got a replica of the plane that flew the first commercial flight in the world from St. Pete to Tampa. Yep, it started here. As well as the largest collection of autographed baseballs in the world, and much more. The Florida Holocaust Museum is another gem. They have incredible artifacts that transport you back in time and deliver a message of hope. The Imagine Museum of Contemporary Glass Art has dozens of beautiful glass sculptures creatively displayed. We also have a collection of glass sculpture by Dale Chihuly nearby in the Marian Arts Center that you've got to check out. The Woodson African American Museum of Florida celebrates both Black history and the accomplishments of African Americans nationally. It's also nearby. Y'all, I have been to all of these museums, I have directed visitors to all of them, and trust me, they do not disappoint. Okay, just a 20-minute ride on the Sunrunner bus or by car from St. Pete is St. Pete Beach. The crown jewel of St. Pete Beach is the Don Cesar Hotel, aka the Pink Palace. Once you see it, you'll know why it has that nickname. It was built in 1928 to resemble a Mediterranean-style castle, and it is the epitome of charm and luxury. It's a great place to stay, but you don't need to stay there to enjoy the amenities. You can book a visit to Spa Oceana and get a pass to use the Don's private beach access. Another hotel in St. Pete Beach that I've directed people to stay at is the Tradewinds Beach Resort. They loved it. It's perfect for families because they've got a variety of fantastic restaurants, plus a three-story water slide, paddle boats, pickleball, and so much more. Absolutely something for everyone. The Tradewinds and the Don were rated by the readers of Gulf Bay Magazine as two of the best beach resorts in St. Pete Clearwater. You can read more about them and learn more about the museums and things to do at visitspc.com. You can also order a free copy of Gulf Bay Magazine on the site, as well as download the Funshine Savings Passport, which is free and a great way to save some money on all the fun things to do in our area. Where should we go to eat? Has got to be one of the most frequently asked questions by people on vacation, and for good reason. They're in a new place and they want to experience local flavors and leave with good memories. Fortunately, we have people like my colleague Helen Freund, the Tampa Bay Times trusted food critic, to help vacationers and locals find just the right spot. Helen, thank you for joining me and welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Let's start with the same question I asked Kathy earlier this episode. If someone is visiting St. Pete for the first time, or maybe they're only here for 48 hours or so, what are three restaurants that you recommend? And I recognize this is a very difficult question considering all the great options we have here.
It really is. It's such a tricky question because there's so many great spots. But if I had to say my top three, I would definitely say they should go to Wild Child, which is a Latin and Caribbean restaurant in St. Petersburg's Grand Central District. And it's wildly creative. They've got really, really good cocktails. And it's been around for just over 5 years now, and they're still almost just as popular as they were the day they opened. So highly recommend that spot. The other spot I'd recommend people go to is Brick and Mortar. It's a wonderful restaurant. It's been around now for more than a decade. Downtown St. Petersburg, off of Central Avenue. And think farm to table, really creative, constantly changing menu, small but really impressive wine list, and just really all around great service and great food. And then for third, I guess if you're feeling like a splurge, I would go to Il Ritorno. Il Ritorno is hands down one of the best restaurants, not just in St. Petersburg, but really in all of Tampa Bay. And it's incredible Italian food, but it's also really, really creative, modern, envelope-pushing food. It comes at a price. It's not a cheap restaurant, but it's worth every penny.
Those are great suggestions. The thing I love about all these locations that you mentioned is that there's so much to do around them too.
Absolutely.
So, Helen, if you wanted to go for a drink before or ice cream afterward, mm-hmm. those are right nearby.
Oh, yeah, definitely. For ice cream, I love Hippo. That's right on Central Avenue, right downtown. For drinks before, there's so many options. I really like going to Book and Bottle for a glass of wine. That's a bookstore and a really cute little cafe and wine shop. And it's a great bottle shop. So if you want to pick up a bottle to go, you can do that there too. For cocktails, it's a little bit of a further walk. But if you walk down to Beach Drive, Juno and the Peacock and their cocktail lounge Pluma right next door are excellent choices.
So let's stick with drinks for a minute, just because I enjoy a beer or a cocktail every
yes,
so often. Before we dive into more obscure hidden gems in the dining scene, what are some other bars or clubs that you would recommend in downtown St. Pete?
Let's see. Dirty Laundry. If you're thinking of going to a club, Dirty Laundry is really fun. It's kind of got this like speakeasy flair, and there's usually some type of live music, whether it's a band or a singer or a DJ. For cocktails, I'm going to go also back to Wild Child. I think Wild Child has one of the best drinks programs around, and they also just opened up a new cocktail bar right next door. It's a martini bar and a restaurant, and the food is excellent, but the focus there is really on martinis, and I would urge anyone, even if you're not a martini fan, what they do is really special.
Great suggestions. Right down the street from Dirty Laundry is Bodega.
Yes.
And you mentioned speakeasy. We had some friends in town, and we took them to Bodega, and we had a Cuban, mm-hmm. and it was fantastic. And then I took them back down the hallway and pulled on the handle to reveal the speakeasy, and they were blown away.
Yeah, was, Bar Chica.
Yes.
Yes, that place is great.
Oh, yeah. I love it. I love it. Okay, so we know a lot of people come back to St. Pete Clearwater year after year. What are a couple of hidden gems that might be off the beaten path or a little bit more obscure that you recommend if you're either here for a bit longer, returning, or just want to try something different?
Definitely. You know, I'd always urge people, there is so much great food and so much great drinks to be found on that sort of main central corridor on Central Avenue. But I'd really urge people to do a little exploring because there are a lot of great hidden gems. One of my favorite spots is a restaurant called Patty's Kitchen. It's in Pinellas Park, so a community that's just probably about a 10-minute drive away. Lots of incredible international food like Vietnamese, Filipino. This restaurant is Thai, and they specialize in Bangkok-style noodle soups, which is really fun. So it's really, the flavors are just so incredible. There's this attention to detail. It's a small restaurant. It's a small menu, but I feel like that makes it just extra special. Like everything they do is so good. And there's a little bit of a choose your own adventure thing going on too, where you can say, choose the type of soup you want, the type of broth, the type of noodle, the type of add-ins and protein, and the spice level too, which I would urge people to be careful with. It gets very spicy, but it's incredible Thai food. Highly recommend that spot. And then the other place is fairly new. It's called Mowgli's Tiffin. It's a little Indian restaurant right on the corner of the Edge District. And it's easy to miss it when you drive by. It's a really, really tiny spot. I think they've got maybe, 15 seats in there at the very most. But they also specialize in East Indian-inspired street food. So you're going to find some really, really creative Indian dishes there that you wouldn't find your regular standby Indian restaurant.
Great suggestions.
Yeah.
Okay. Before we head out to St. Pete Beach and talk about places to eat there, we need to talk about Mazzaro's Italian Market.
Yes.
It is a hidden gem, and it's about a 10-minute drive from downtown St. Pete, but well worth it. Can you describe Mazzaro's? I know it might be difficult, but maybe also explain why it's so popular.
Where does one start with Mazzaro's? Mazzaro's is one of the first places I was ever taken to when I first moved here to become a food critic. And I think it's because it is such an incredible spot if you're a food lover in any way. I mean, it's an Italian market, but it's quite sprawling. There's all types of international foods there, not just Italian, but all kinds of like European delicacies. There is a cheese cave. So an entire room dedicated. If you love cheese, this is the place to go. And they've got a great wine selection. Their sandwiches are incredible. They have a coffee bar that's kind of situated in the middle. You can just hang out with and drink and eat. And a really, really incredible bakery. So yeah, go to Mazzaro's.
Absolutely. Okay. What are some suggestions for places to eat out at St. Pete Beach?
Yeah, St. Pete Beach is really coming back after the storms, and there are a lot of restaurants that have reopened now. One of my favorite places to go to is The Helm. They were closed during the storm, and they just recently reopened, and they at one point were only serving lunch, but now they're also serving lunch and dinner, and it's really incredible seafood, but even if you're not a seafood lover, there's plenty to find on that menu. It's a really great spot, wonderful owners, one of my favorite spots to go to out at St. Pete Beach for sure. And for breakfast, I love a place called La Croisette. It's a little French restaurant. There's also nearby The Grove, which is a coffee shop that has really, really good coffee, really good pastries and snacks. And they also are a spot that recently reopened. And I think, you can tell people are so excited to see these businesses come back because every time I go there, they're just packed.
Some people come to Florida and they want that quintessential Florida fish shed dining experience. Any recommendations for something like that on St. Pete Beach or somewhere nearby?
Gosh, yeah, there's so many. I mean, Ted Peters Smokehouse is an absolute must, right? That's an iconic institution. Not in St. Pete Beach, but in St. Petersburg, there's a kind of a new, more modern fish camp. It's called Cheeky's. That's got a great cocktail program, oysters, fish sandwiches, crudos, raw seafood dishes, all kinds of things.
One of the great things about St. Pete Clearwater is the sunsets and to be able to watch one from a rooftop bar with a drink in your hand. Any suggestions for that experience?
Yeah, I mean, in Paso Grill, you've got places like the Hurricane, which has been there forever and makes a great grouper sandwich. And you can stand out there in the rooftop bar, you can have a nice drink and definitely see the sunset from there.
Paso Grill is just a stone's throw from St. Pete Beach. So if you're staying at St. Pete Beach, you could head down to Paso Grill and go to the Hurricane or any of the rooftop or beach bars there.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, away. It's probably like a 5-minute drive at most. Yeah.
Excellent. Helen, thank you so much for sharing your insights with us. There are dozens of great places to eat and drink all over St. Pete Clearwater. I'm sure we could talk for hours. But before we wrap up, is there anything else that we didn't touch on that you'd like for people to know?
Yeah, I mean, I always just love to encourage people to support the local restaurant scene here because it is so incredible and it's made up of so many incredible, hardworking, independent restaurateurs. I think after last year's storms, the beach communities are really working hard to bring their restaurant scene back. So, going to them is always going to be great. It's a great way to spend your dollars. And there's so much great food to find, and there's so many great drinks to be had. And it's just the more you get out of your comfort zone and the more you explore, I promise you, you're going to find just great stuff.
I totally agree. I'm on a quest to spot the green flash, the optical phenomenon that has been described when the sun slips down over the horizon, over the water. Some people say that there's a green flash of light. Are you aware of this?
I am. I have been looking for that green flash. I've seen it one single time, and it was fleeting, I will say, but I'm pretty sure I saw it. But no, it's I've never seen it again, but I keep looking for it.
I do too. Helen, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure being with you. You can read more of Helen's recommendations in Gulf to Bay magazine. We've got a digital edition at visitspc.com, or you can request a free printed copy in the mail on the site too. Or get Helen's latest reviews on TampaBay.com, the website of the Tampa Bay Times. Helen was absolutely right about watching the sunset from the rooftop of the Hurricane restaurant. I've enjoyed a few sunsets and umbrella drinks there myself. Another spot in St. Pete Beach where my wife and I have watched the sunset is from the rooftop of Hotel Zamora on Gulf Boulevard. You can enjoy a fabulous dinner in their restaurant downstairs and head up to the rooftop for a drink afterwards, or vice versa. There's lots of room, and it has a sophisticated, swanky vibe, so if you're going for romance, the Hotel Zamora rooftop is the perfect place. Well, that does it for this episode of Must-Dos and Hidden Gems. In our next episode, we'll head south from St. Pete Beach just a few miles to the beaches of Tierra Verde, Shell Key, and Fort DeSoto Park. I'll share a peaceful and magical kayaking trip that you can take at the Whedon Island Nature Preserve. We'll visit with locals in the artsy community of Gulfport to find out what makes it a hidden gem in our area, and much more. We hope that you join us. For sun, sand, and so much more, there's nothing quite like St. Pete Clearwater. The best of St. Pete Clearwater doesn't stop here. Get your free copy of Gulf to Bay magazine today. Go to visitspc.com for more details. Must-Dos and Hidden Gems is produced by Visit St. Pete Clearwater in partnership with Times Total Media, the sales and marketing division of the Tampa Bay Times. Recording by Dave Morrison, editing by Dan Canaro, executive producers Katie Bridges, Eddie Kirsch, and Steve Grimes.